I heartily endorse this event or product.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Talk to the Audience, where this is always death. I am one of your hosts, Bob Mackey, who is here with me today.
Currently planning his flight to Myrtle Beach, Henry Gilbert.
Ooh, that sounds great. And this is our community podcast, by the way.
Welcome.
In case you are a new patron, number one, welcome, and thank you for your money. Number two, we do this every month in which we go over the news of the Simpsons world and also talk about your questions and comments, respond to them, rather. And it's been not as busy as a month as July. Was, but there's still a lot happening in our lives and in the lives of the Simpsons universe.
Yeah, no, I mean, July was a wild month for Talking Simpsons. We flew to LA. We had another live show. We recorded with a ton of cool people. And this month also has had a lot of really cool recordings, like behind the scenes. If you combine our recordings for Simpsons and What a Cartoon, we have 10 episodes in the can right now.
I can't believe that. We have most of September taken care of, by the way, as of this recording.
And not to mention tons of cool things planned. Actually, let's tease that later.
Ooh, so much cool stuff happening in the future. But let's go over what's been happening lately. So Disenchantment came out. Hooray! Woo! August 17th it came out. And I still have 2 episodes left to watch, but I've really been enjoying it. Hey, I'm going to be going on a trip very soon to Portland and Seattle. Maybe I'll see some of you. In fact, I probably have seen some of you already. So look for me in those cities. It'll be a game. It'll be a fun game for you.
Yeah,
and I hope Seattle has less hellish smoke storms when I'm there.
Good chance it won't be. But then again, climate change is destroying the world right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, so get used to it, I guess. But I'll be in Seattle during PAX, but I won't be there for PAX or at PAX. So you might see me around.
You won't be saying anything or doing anything.
Yes, I will be the drunk wino playing Bob Mackey. We'll be walking around Seattle.
You know, I guess a little update from, if you listen to our What a Cartoon, you had our episodes 1 through 5 thoughts. I've seen the whole season and I really liked it a lot. I will say, especially those last 3 episodes, you've only seen one of those.
I'll watch them all before I leave. I'll have time to watch 9 and 10.
They are lore as shit, they are continuity as shit, and they are cliffhangery as all get out, which that's what we expected from a Netflix show, and I think they handle it well. I have seen one complaint about Disenchantment that I do understand, which is like they feel the sound design is a little sparse.
I totally agree. In fact, now that someone pointed it out to me, that's all I can pay attention to. It's just like they're in a crowded marketplace, but you can only hear the 3 main characters, there are no footsteps. I feel like there's only Foley when there's like an intentionality, like you need to hear her climbing this thing because it's part of the drama, but they don't put in Foley unless it's, you know, something they need to indicate to the viewer.
Yeah, compared to what we experience just hearing the sounds from, say, Simpsons or Futurama clips when we've done those, it does feel a little empty when comparatively, like, we just recorded Mountain of Madness, and in that one, folks will remember, they think that the fire alarm is the microwave being done, and then they pour popcorn kernels into a bowl, just the sound. Like, you can hear each kernel hitting the bowl.
But even in episodes where there's not an action taking place, like if they're outside or it's daytime in The Simpsons, you'll hear birds chirping.
Yeah.
You'll hear traffic noises. You'll hear stuff like that. That kind of thing is absent from Disenchantment. I don't think it's a budget thing. I think it's a choice they're making.
Yeah.
Whoever the sound editor is, or the sound designer, rather. And I hope maybe they get some of this feedback and make season 2 a little noisier.
I think so. In general, it's all about feedback. That is something you're used to on The Simpsons. Like, even in season 1, they were kind of course correcting as they went. Same with when it's broadcast each week, they can still re-record dialogue or whatever. This is the first time ever a graining show has just dumped a whole season at once that people just either take or leave.
Al Jean and Mike Reese's nightmare, frankly.
That's right.
Boom, I burned them. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I'm a little confused by some of the blowback to it.
I've seen a little.
I'm not one of those people who, as soon as something is hated, they say, "Well, everyone's a critic now. Look at all these haters." This is like, yes, I realize people don't like things, but I feel like there was sort of an agenda to dislike this series. series from the very beginning. And I was one of those people, if you listen to our two podcasts about it we've done so far, episode one, I was like, oh no, I don't know if I like this, but I really like it now.
Yeah.
And people calling it, I won't say his name because I like his podcast and stuff, but he tweeted, I guess signing up for Netflix is like signing up for Newgrounds these days. I'm like, and I honestly think it's from a, in a positive way of saying this, it's from a place of ignorance, because we just did Talking Critic, right? Mm-hmm. We went back to those Icebox episodes.
Oh, yeah.
They are, compared to something like Disenchantment, it is just like a cave drawing.
There's
like
no comparison.
I don't. Yeah. I think in your brain you might have a memory of what those animations look like, but until you see them again, mm-hmm. you have no idea just how primitive they were. And I think Disenchantment is a really good looking show.
Yeah, I think it's really good looking too. I think, I mean, is it Cell animation level? Like, no, but I think it's even better looking. You could even throw that complaint, BoJack Horseman, a show I love, and I think they amazing work with, but
the designs are great, but yeah. Sorry.
They're moving, yeah, the designs are great, but they're moving around elements. It's
a hideously animated show with really good designs. And
fantastic writing and acting.
Yeah, but the animation, it's not necessary. That could be a radio play, you know? It could be like a book on tape, but it's a fun Netflix show. I have yet to watch it because of we talked about that on the Misery Chick episode.
Yes, yeah, but Bobby's one of these days, so sad. It's so depressing.
If I run out of anime to watch while I work out, I will watch BoJack Horseman. That's a weird show to be on an elliptical machine.
Yeah.
While watching.
Though exercise is actually a key thematic element of season two. So.
Okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. I'll get around to it. So we have more news. You just put this in the doc, Henry. What's happening with the Quickie Mart?
There was a surprising amount of Simpsons news since our last one of these to catch up on. And today, at the time of this recording, on August 22nd, in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, they opened up a for-real Quickie Mart as a permanent installation in the city that sells squishies, sells the Big Pink Donuts, Duff Beer, pretty much a lot of the stuff from Universal that we saw.
Is this mandated by Fox, I'm guessing?
Fox is part of the deal. Okay,
but why there? I don't get it.
I mean, Myrtle Beach is I could see it being a tourist destination looking for more like tourist trappy type thing. So now it's like, well, if you come to Myrtle Beach, you can stay on faux antebellum houses and also visit the Simpsons.
So much great history, both slavery and animation. Wait, so that's why you said you're flying to Myrtle Beach.
Yes.
You're actually flying to where? Chicago.
Yes, I am actually going to be. I'll be in Chicago. Anybody else going to All In, the big pro wrestling event in Chicago on September 1st? No.
Well, actually, so when the Simpsons movie came out, they dressed up a lot of 7-Elevens across the country. Well, not a lot, more like 10 as Quickie Marts. And I was visiting a friend in Chicago and I went to the one there. And it was just a bunch of standees of Simpsons characters and some different signage put up. But I have to say, that Big Pink Donut we got at Universal Studios, for being mass-produced garbage, it was pretty good. It was like a nice, like moist piece of cake almost.
Yeah. So I wonder if they're just getting it shipped to them from the same people who make it for the Universal Studios. But yeah, they are selling some merch in there that's also looks straight out of the Universal place. It looks fun, and they've got squishy machines that are actually set up like the squishy machines. It was some marketing company apparently licensed it from Fox, but it is an official thing. And even wilder is, so that opened this week, and next to it is an Aztec theater that will be apparently an actual operational theater that will be opening.
That I like even more, actually.
Now, if that was a theater where you could watch episodes of The Simpsons with an audience and just walk in and pay like $4 and watch it, I would do that, man.
I think it's going to be all 8 screens or whatever the most recent movie we made for China is.
Probably so, yes.
Yeah, so,
but it's the Aztec Theater front and everything right next to Quickie Mart. Now, I will say this as a Southerner. I'm not judging the South from a point of ignorance, but South Carolina as a state was usually the shittiest of the the Southern states because it had the most pride. It had the most pride in its Southern history, which you should have no pride in. And I think they are among the most we're not changing our Confederate flag of all the states. But I've never been to Myrtle Beach. Might be nice place, but
I'm sure it's fun. I come at this from an angle of Northern aggression, and I know our pal Jeremy Parrish lives in North Carolina.
Yes,
which
the
is
better Carolina.
The better Carolina. They famously the Hornets were there. The only team team I ever liked.
As the North Carolinians I knew in the South, they all looked down on South Carolina, though that could be the usual like Southern state rivalry bullshit about college football teams, which who cares? I don't know. Hey, if this sounds really cool, I don't know what else I would do in Myrtle Beach. Maybe if I ever were to visit my brother in Florida, I would fly down first to Myrtle Beach for a day and check those out and then fly down. Probably not.
I'm sure you can have fun there.
But hey, any South Carolina listeners here, one, I'm sorry I attacked your state. But
we can actually look at our stats and see how many listeners we have in South Carolina and then trash them mercilessly if it's like three.
But if you can visit that Quickie Mart and the soon to open Aztec Theater, let me know how cool it is. I'd like to know. The Aztec Theater, well, I mean, the Quickie Mart looks a little similar to the Quickie Mart that's in Universal that we did go to. So, except they sell more food there. So I could see checking it out, but I'm not too impressed by it. But if the Aztec Theater is a functional theater that did Simpson-y things, that really interests me.
I can guarantee you there will be no Apu stuff in there. So
yeah,
if there is, let us know. I'd be interested. I think they're just trying to back away from that slowly.
As they were building that thing, they're like, God damn it, this Apu shit. No, it's also funny timing that happened because I just read a funny Twitter story about this drink company or this bar was trying to build a Rick and Morty bar.
Oh, and, right. Yeah.
And, but apparently it was not officially licensed. And then they put out a very like snarky post of, well, Time Warner, I guess, doesn't want fun and doesn't like fun. It's like you're trying to profit off something that isn't yours.
Art wants to be free, yes. Henry. Let me profit off of your IP and give you none of the cash.
Well, it's not even that. It's the yeah, and it's also they're even advertising like, hey, it's Pickle Rick. Pickle Rick is saying you go to this place. Like, well, no, it's not your thing. Like,
I don't know what. I don't really want to meet the clientele of the Rick and Morty bar for as someone who enjoys the show.
They have to be the smartest people in the world, Bob. I don't
it's
know
true, and they're all introverts, which are secretly the best people.
The smartest, yes. And the best. All right, other news. Simpsons Comics, the title Simpsons Comics, is ending. Like, the last issue is coming out or has just come out this month. The series has been around since 1994. I bought issue one in 1994. It's now an issue in the 230s, I believe. Mm. Bongo had been slowly either transitioning into digital or doing, like, they were publishing a lot less stuff. I think Nina had mentioned that when we talked with her, too. This wasn't too much of a surprise, and it's also it makes me wonder where Bongo Comics is going to go. So if you don't know the history of Bongo, which I would love to do more about in future stuff, guys, behind the scenes, I've been trying to get interviews with Bongo Comics like founders for a long time. And they're hard to get.
We met Bill Morrison in the flesh and we saw all of his Batman stuff.
He was the nicest guy. So Bongo Comics started in 1994, and it was partially because Matt Groening had full control over that, as opposed to sharing stuff with Gracie Films and he started as a comic maker. So he controlled Bongo Comics and they published a ton of cool stuff. Apparently it was much more successful in Europe than it is in America, but it had been going gangbusters for over 20 years. Now I think my guess, and I have no insider information on this, but my guess is that this has a little to do with the Disney purchase, because Disney, Mac Groening has old deals about licensing stuff that Disney maybe is not as into.
We want all the money. Yeah. So, but like, how are non superhero comics doing in general in America? Comics that aren't tied to things that are movies.
Well, it's interesting in a way because they can be sold at bookstores outside of the ghetto of comic book stores and actually do a lot better in some cases. This is old comics I'm talking about, but Colleen Duran, who's one of the best comic artists ever, and she was one of the very few women on a mainstream stage in the early 90s and late 80s in the world of superhero comics. She talked about how she drew the Beauty and the Beast official comic in like 1991, and it outsold all boys comics, but it wasn't categorized as a comic. So she's like, I never got to be the million seller who outsold Todd McFarlane, because it was a girly comic and in digest form. So they sell pretty all right if they can be sold at bookstores and presented as children's books as opposed to comic books.
So graphic novels?
Yeah, graphic novels too. Whatever is next to the manga in most bookstores. That's how the Star Wars comics sell really well for that reason. I'm looking at Star Wars comics to see what the future of Simpsons comics could be. Disney has two type of things they do. With Star Wars comics, I think Marvel was like, we can publish these comics and make a ton of money. Don't license it to somebody else. But with Disney cartoon comics like Darkwing Duck, DuckTales, those they just license out to Boom Entertainment or Dynamite or other people who will just pay them the money up front, and they'll deal with all the publishing BS. So The Simpsons could end up in a similar situation like that of, I would suspect, more likely licensed to some other publisher and they just start over, as opposed to Marvel doing it.
Well, I know Nina's doing okay. She's doing a ton of stuff for Fangamer, mm-hmm. and I just bought two of her new t-shirts, and follow her on Twitter. It's Space Coyote, except the E is replaced with an L.
Yes.
And she has lots of cool new shirts coming, all like metal themed. I think more Persona stuff is on the way. I don't have any insight into this, but her Thimbleweed Park and Persona 5 stuff is really cool.
And also her and Mongo Comics alum Ian Boothby, they did the comic Sparks, children's comic Sparks for Scholastic, which sounds really cool. Everyone should check
that out. Many ways to support her. I think Nina should have a Patreon. But then again, I think anyone that's talented should have a Patreon. Mm-hmm. Even untalented people can have one. It's cool.
I've seen a few. So speaking of the Disney merger, which is officially happening now, there's something happening in Fox Films that Wall Street Journal reported on, that with Disney buying all this Fox stuff, they are going to be telling 20th Century Fox Films, you don't need to also make as many films. We're making films, and we bought this for the properties, not for your ability to make films. As downsizing is about to come, apparently they are already internally plans for a Simpsons movie sequel is starting to move along here, along with a Bob's Burgers film and a potential Family Guy film that would have live action elements.
I really feel conflicted about another Simpsons movie, seeing as the first one, I think I'm kind of lukewarm on it, and it almost killed the entire staff. They were running a show full time and writing the movie over the course of, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. But you said earlier, Henry, they might end the show and just make movies.
That could be the situation, that Disney would just see it as an annual movie franchise, a prestige movie franchise, and not have to bother negotiating for episodes anymore when they've got all the episodes they need. But though rereading it in the Wall Street Journal story, it also to me feels like that these are the plans that the Fox executives have, that Disney could very well just say like, nah, nope, those aren't the plans, and just completely clear cut the forest on that. Apparently, partially they're moving forward with those Fox TV movie plans because they are losing DreamWorks soon. Like DreamWorks Animation got bought by Comcast, but they still had a deal. Yeah, I know, it's a consolidation of all things. But DreamWorks still had a deal with Fox that's about to end, and when that ends, Fox is like, oh shit, we don't have animated movies anymore. Well, we got these cartoons on TV. Why don't we make some more movies of those?
I really feel like the time for a Family Guy movie was maybe 10 years ago at the latest. Just right after the Fox reboot made it huge again, and there was merch in books and CDs everywhere. That would have been the perfect time for a Family Guy movie. I think Family Guy is just this like Simpsons like institution now, where people just watch it because they've always watched it. Mm-hmm. It's not like there's not a whole lot of excitement behind it anymore.
17 seasons.
Yeah, boy. 17. I really want to sit down with a Family Guy fan that is on the level of us as Simpsons fans, be like, what is the shark jumping point? Is there one? Who are the lesser showrunners? I'm sure there's people that are way into that lore of Family Guy, like we're into the Simpsons lore. I really want to know more about that.
I want to meet those crazy people. We're totally normal.
But they don't have as many commentaries to rely on. That's why I always curse that there's not enough King of the Hill commentaries. There's like two.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, I want to know all the stories behind all of these jokes. Like, you weren't just selling to Walmart people. The nerds wanted this stuff too.
Yeah, I wonder if that's Mike Judge just not liking to explain things.
Maybe. I think
I could see that.
He has a lot of things to do, as does Greg Daniels. But yes. We got some good stuff out of who? Dan McGrath.
Yeah, Dan
McGrath.
Got
some King of the Hill stories out of him.
That was really cool. If we do more King of the Hill, we should come back to him.
Yes, and we might. Actually, let me stick. That's a segue, Henry. Let me skip ahead a little bit. Again, we are super close to our $11,000 goal. We're about, as of this recording, giving $700 away, which is, you know, not a small amount of money, but it's something, a goal I think we can meet before the end of the year. So
I think so too.
Again, if we meet that, we will unlock a new, I guess, 10 to 13 episode miniseries, mm-hmm. And that you will get to vote on.
And yeah, so tell your friends if they aren't signed up yet, but they like our podcast. That $5 a month, you're not going to miss it. Like,
yes.
It goes, and you get tons of stuff for it. That RSS feed is right there. So then you'll get to vote on, it could be King of the Hill. I've seen people say, like, I want to see you do all of Disenchantment. Or some people say, I want to see you all do all of Venture Brothers Season 1. Or Futurama Season 2. Or all of Steven Universe, which, man, if I could just create time, I would totally do that.
But, me too. But yes, so I do want to say, like, if some of you just gave an extra buck a month, we could hit it instantly. Mm-hmm. So maybe consider it. I understand if you don't have that much bandwidth in your wallet, but mm-hmm. we really want to do it, but we need money to justify it, because doing a third series on top of two existing series is a lot of work. And we were kind of running ragged by the end of Talking Futurama. But we really love doing it. It just is like 3 podcasts posting every week is a lot for 2 people. So, but we really want to do another one this year. So if you can help us out, awesome. Try to talk your friends into it. Be the pusher in the situation.
Yes. Yeah. I guess the last bit of Simpsons news was kind of related to this, where Fox Network execs were asked, like, is the Simpsons ending after Disney? And they gave the very, like, corporate, for the foreseeable future, we've got 2 more years of shows going. It's just like, well, that still isn't news on making a new deal for anything past season 30, which is what they are currently producing on. And in about 6 months, I think, is kind of when it becomes almost too late, like, for them to not interrupt broadcast if they're going to make a season 31 or not.
Yeah.
I would also think they might, I think they might also, the deadline would be like the end of the fiscal year, which would be March of next year. So keep an eye out for news then, I would think.
I honestly think it won't end until one of the main cast members dies. Mm. And I know Disney famously replaces actors.
Yep.
I feel like it would be too distasteful in this sense, because those actors, they own their characters so much at this point. I mean, we talked about on another podcast how the Mickeys are all different.
Yeah.
But I mean, we didn't live with one Mickey for 30 years. We've lived with Dan Castellaneta as Homer for 30 years, and it would just feel just like an imposter.
Well, Mickey talking isn't like as important as Dan Castellaneta's voice. And also, I think that they, not that they've like striked together, but the voice talent worked together to get their current deals. Like, so I would think if the rest of them were like, hey, you can't replace the person who died, we're out of here. If you replace them, then you just replace the rest of us. Fuck off. Like, we're gone. Like, but once you take out any of those people and you don't replace them, then you just can't do new voices. Like, you can't do the show without them. Unless they're like, oh, well, Lisa went away and she's never coming back.
Even when Maggie Roswell was replaced briefly, whenever like Miss Hoover or Maud Flanders, when she was still alive, appeared, it just felt so wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I know how Maud Flanders sounds. This is not right. And my ears are trained to detect imposters now. So please don't do that. But on the lighter side, or the I don't know if that was a darker story. I forget what we're even talking about. But here's an announcement. We have another Piano Fight show, guys. That's Woo! Piano Fight in San Francisco on October 27th. That's a ways off, but we'll be putting ads in the shows as we get closer to that point. Mm-hmm. So you have plenty of time to plan your way to make it out here. Thumb a ride out to SF, and we'll be doing it at Piano Fight. And we're going to be doing, I'm not sure if we'll be doing a full Trios of Horror or choosing segments to talk about, but our last one, it's on the Patreon. You might have heard it. We had video clips, and it was, I think it's our best show yet.
Yeah, the video clips work great. The audience was awesome for it. It worked great with airing the video. I can't wait to do it with Halloween related stuff for just based on that date. And in case you forgot, Piano Fight is downtown San Francisco. If you haven't been there before, really easy to get to via public transit. It's you know, the neighborhood's okay. If you're gonna, I will warn some people. I saw somebody have a comment like, if you're flying in, do not get a hotel right next to the venue. That is not where you want to stay in San Francisco.
In fact, stay in Berkeley or Oakland. Stay in the East Bay. We prefer it. That's where we live.
Yeah, just get a cheap Airbnb. that's by a BART station, and you just take the BART into the city and walk two blocks. That's all you got to do.
Yes, and I can't wait. So I really want to have like a costume contest or something like that.
Oh, boy. Yeah, wow.
Maybe I'll dress up for it. It'll be fun.
All right. Well, sounds like I better too. What is a Simpson-y, Halloween-y? I'll think on that.
Yes, but that's October 27th at Piano Fight in San Francisco, I believe, probably 5:30, but we'll have some solid concrete details very, very soon. It's still more than 2 months away as of this recording. But yeah, we have so many great things planned. We have interviews coming up. We have, like Henry said, there's like 10 episodes in the can for both What a Cartoon.
With lots of cool guests.
And Talking Simpsons. And is there anything else before we get into questions and comments?
Well, yeah. I mean, those interviews, we're actually recording one tomorrow.
Ooh, and it just snuck up on us, but I'm doing it.
Yes, yeah.
It's a big get, guys. It is. Look out.
It's a big get. And I've heard from a couple more people that we might be getting to. I never want to name them in case it falls out and you guys are like, hey, you lied to me. I don't want that. So, but we've got cool stuff coming. We, you know, even when we're not doing a third regular podcast like Futurama, we still, I think we keep up a pretty good a number of exclusives to the Patreon.
We almost have a bonus thing a week or every 2 weeks at the least.
Close to it.
And not to smell our own farts too much, but I really enjoyed with this next interview. He's heard of us. Uh-oh, it's a man.
Yes. Yeah.
That really singles it out for the Simpsons staff, doesn't
certainly.
It? Yes. But yes, I was flattered to hear that. Like, oh yeah, you interviewed so-and-so and that's he told me about you and stuff like that. So
that was really cool.
I'm flattered to know these people know about us, and I bet they're like grumbling about us too.
These dorks.
Yes.
They're going to ask me stuff I don't remember.
I hope Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein still love us.
I hope so. I hope they liked our reviews. I just want to talk to Bill Oakley about his burger stuff. If we ever get to finally interview Josh Weinstein, I really want to talk a ton about Disenchantment because he hasn't gone on the record with a ton of stuff about that. But I also just want to ask him about Simpsons and Mission Hill. It's tough.
We can get, let's talk him into a second interview at the end of our first one.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
We've had so much fun, Josh.
Yeah. Let's do a second hour right now.
So let's get into questions and comments. We also have questions from What a Cartoon for the first time.
Ooh.
So I put those in here as well. Let's start with Talking Simpsons questions and comments and the Homer They Fall. So Mark E. says, okay, great episode, and Cat was wonderful as usual. I have to toss out a few more points regarding the amazing Paul Winfield. Now, he played Lucius Sweet, in case you forget. First, I'm surprised nobody mentioned he was very successful as a character actor while being a gay black man. I don't know how out he was, but it seems notable given his era. Secondly, he was the amazing narrator of the late 90s A&E true crime show City Confidential up until his death. His drawl was crazy iconic. When he passed, he got replaced by Keith freaking David, and it wasn't a patch on Winfield's work. And I didn't know that about Paul Winfield.
No, I didn't know that until I got this highlighted to me by a few people on Twitter. One of them was a Mr. Drew Mackey. I wanted to pull him up because he's a cool gay dude who has very similar interests to me. And he was the one who also told me, he's like, I'm surprised you guys didn't know this, but I didn't know that about Paul Winfield. From what I looked into it, that it wasn't that he was in the closet, but it's also like nobody interviewed him, but he was a character actor. He wasn't particularly out or in.
No one was asking about his life.
But when he passed away, it was definitely mentioned in his obituary that he was, I mean, he also, as a character actor with a ton of Broadway background,
it
could be just an open
there
secret.
There are gay people in Broadway.
I also wanted to mention Drew just because he does have a really cool podcast that actually mentions us sometimes on it called Gayest Episode Ever, where they do an episode deconstruction of a show that is a particularly gay episode of that series. They've done Homer's Phobia. They also did one I really liked, if I could point people to. They did a Batman the Animated Series one about the first Harley and Ivy episode.
Oh, okay. I gotta check this out. Gayest Episode Ever?
Yes.
Okay, that sounds awesome.
Yes, the podcast is called Gayest Episodes Ever. It's hosted by Drew Mackey and Glenn Lakin. So check that out. I don't know. Maybe, you know, they've already done Homer's Phobia, but maybe Drew would be interested in coming on for our Homer's Phobia episode.
I like that.
I'm thinking out loud here, folks. But okay, the other comment is from our good buddy Joe Hodgson saying, 90s pay-per-views were some of the worst values. I had a friend in ninth grade who would get every WWF pay-per-view and some WCW and just watch them by himself at home because it was a school night, so he couldn't have friends over to watch it with him. He had no way to lessen the individual cost for each one since it was just him. I liked wrestling a lot then, but I still thought it was crazy since he basically could have been getting a brand new video game each month instead of a pay-per-view. He did record each one, though, so I benefited in that I could borrow each of them. Today, you can still get a pay-per-view, $10 to $15, and I have no idea who still's doing that. Don't they know it's all on the internet and free?
I don't know if you've been on the internet, but there's a lot of free pornography on that thing.
Yeah, whenever I would go on business trips and was in a hotel room, I would see that, like, hey, here's the porn channel. I was like, but I have my phone in my hand right now. If I need to deal with that need, I have this phone and I don't have to worry about maybe explaining a charge to, also, whether gay or straight, it's just normie ass porn on the hotel channel anyway, which, like, the internet has broken my brain. I can't just look at that.
Not filthy enough, but Joe Hutchin is right. And that, I don't know how anyone could afford those pay-per-views in the 90s. What, is it because there was a middle class?
Yeah.
And people could pay $80 to watch one boxing match?
Me and my little brother would split it for the wrestling ones. We'd each pay the $30 to $50. It depended on the show. But boxing ones were way more. They were like $100, $150.
Yeah, like I said on that Homer They Fall, I believe it was $70 for the Tyson Holyfield 2 fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Well, and they still kind of do the last I forget what they were charging for the pay-per-view for Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather, but the Floyd Mayweather Manny Pacquiao fight, that was over $100 just to get it, which is, again, it's like, you know, Periscope exists, guys, right? Yeah. Or if you just UFC, they still charge for it too. Technically, you can get a pay-per-view of wrestling as well, but WWE just has it all streaming on their WWE network, so why would you pay that?
Yeah, after I grew up and me and all my friends were poor and I knew people that were into boxing, we would just go to a bar who was showing it. They bought it, but they're not allowed to show it to a crowd, but they still were. Like, who's going to stop them?
You're not going to narc on them.
No way. So Burns Baby Burns is up next, and commenting all-star Joe Hodgson says, talking about Lime Rickeys. So I got this reference wrong, even though it was very deceptive. So Lime Rickeys were quite popular in the New England area, and you still see them sold at carnivals and such. The cherry variant seems to be the most popular. My mom grew up in Massachusetts and had a lot of them as a kid, and she said to me it tastes like a cherry limeade, which you can get in many places today. Knowing that it's also a cocktail, I assume the joke is you're expecting Burns to want a cocktail when he tells Smithers to make him one, then laugh when you see he actually wanted the soda variant, as illustrated by the paper cup and straw. These Harvard, New England scumbags.
Yeah,
only they would get this joke and write it.
That is so much more complicated than I originally thought. I thought it was like, yeah, it's a hard drink, and he is drinking it out of a cup. But no, it totally is a soda, and he's drinking it out of a soda cup.
But it's specific to New England. And until the 60s, my entire family was from New England. My grandma, when she was still alive, talked like Peter Griffin. They were all from Rhode Island. So I should know this just by osmosis, but I don't.
Yeah, I've never been to New England either. The farthest north I have been is New York City. I'm a Californian and a Southerner. Otherwise, that don't fucks with the rest of the
world. I have never been to the South, ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Not even on a business thing?
I don't think they would cotton to me. I made finger quotes.
No, I mean, well, right now you're wearing a pink shirt and have an asymmetrical haircut, so no, you would not.
Most of my shirts are now one-piece shirts, by the way.
Also on that episode, Nico Wells says, the Cider Mill season pass joke is one of my favorites in the whole series because of how absurd it is. Amusement parks and theme parks usually promote the season annual pass as being paid for in 2 to 6 visits. To find out the true level of absurdity, I found a Cider Mill that charges admission of $11.95 a day. Flanders then spent $191.20 on his season pass alone to visit the Cider Mill. The Cider Mill did have a season pass in reality that is $29.99. paying for itself in 3 visits.
What does the Flanders line pay for itself after the 16th visit?
Yeah, 16th. Okay, yeah. That's
how he knows all the cider lore.
I know.
Tangy Brown.
I went down to Cider Town this Sunday when my friends were over to watch a WWE pay-per-view. I had a new cider variant they were selling at Trader Joe's, which has it's a rosé cider, which is even girlier. As I said on that episode, I love a girly drink.
Alcoholic cider does not ever taste like apple cider, though. Apple cider is just sort of, it's more viscous, it's more, before. It's not, it's like not translucent.
Yeah, I mean, tangy and brown, that's how I like it in Cider Town.
So our next episode is Bart After Dark, and Joey Jojo Shabadoo says, "That was a great episode and Kate was a good guest. I took away something a little different on the environmental message. To me, the message was environmentalism isn't all it's cracked up to be. That even though you see celebrities doing all the glamour jobs, the real work is hard and is not fun at all. It's not like Lisa quitted something when it gets challenging, so Henry was right there. But the positive thing I took away was environmentalism is good if it's not always the glamorous stuff you see on TV." And that's a good reading of it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like looking back to all of the pro-environmental stuff of the 90s, I feel like they were putting a lot of the onus on children and not on like corporations. Like, you get out and clean the highway. You do it. It's like, why doesn't the government do it? Why don't we pay people to do this? Like, no, clean the highway. It's fine.
Yeah, you can do it at home. Well, I can understand at least in the Captain Planet type sense of it, that you want to tell kids, I know you feel powerless that the world is dying, but there's things you could do to help.
Yeah, and it's nice to teach things like, you know, turn off the light or don't leave the water running. Whenever I've been indoctrinated, because I grew up in the 90s, and when I turn off the light before I leave a room, I'm like, I feel good now. Like,
Captain
I did a
Planet
good thing.
Is proud of me.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's smiling down at me from heaven. He's dead, by the way.
Which, well, now friends of the show, Ian Jones Quarty and Toby Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Their Captain Planet episode, OKKO Ruled, and they even had things in there like, you know, don't be charging your stuff all the time. That's an easy way to save power. But they also make the point of like, well, if you do these little things, I mean, it helps, but the giant companies are doing much worse.
Now so. I feel bad just using a straw. Like, I cut up my straws now before I throw them away if I can.
I put all my straws in my guns to trigger libs like you, Bob.
I put all my straws inside of turtles directly. Cut out the middleman.
So Purple Comic says, "I had a very different reaction to this episode as a kid than I do today. I didn't even know what burlesque was, but I was so sex negative, I was on the side of Marge and the church people, parentheses, this is what happens when you grow up in the rural South and won't admit to yourself that you're gay. Nowadays, I see the outrage for the absurdity that it is and think Belle provides a good service for the community, assuming, of course, she treats her performers well. I've attended a few burlesque shows starring men. It's not something I'd actively seek out, but it's fun when you're out at a bar having a few drinks."
You know, I was thinking of this in the shower, not because this was a topic, but today I was thinking that in, Homer's Night Out, there was like an existing burlesque show in Springfield.
That's true, yeah. It's, well, and not only that, but like dozens of clubs they go to that, like, he takes Bart to like six strip clubs looking for her. Maybe those got shut down that night by Reverend Lovejoy, and then they have to go back to the back house for that.
I like this guy's story, and I'm glad he's doing better now, but like, I do still feel shame, like, looking at bodies that you're that are on display.
It's hard. It's difficult.
Like, especially if I'm around women, and, you know, especially, so I was at the E3 conference a few years ago, or maybe more like 5 or 6 years ago. The company I was with threw a party, and there were like literal women cage dancers, and number one, that wasn't very cool of them to do.
No.
But they were there to be looked at, and it's just like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm surrounded by my female coworkers. Like, yeah, I've got a huge boner looking at this woman in a cage.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Well, I also feel like I wouldn't even like those, not in that it's I'm gay and not into it or any sex negative way, but I would be like, I don't approve of this corporate use of sexuality in this case.
Women in cages have a place in this world, and it's not at corporate parties.
Yeah, no.
But I understand a burlesque show is more appropriate, and it's they're there for that purpose, but I still feel like, am I being a creep? The last thing I ever want to be as a creep.
Well, I do. You know, Bob, you're going to Portland on vacation soon, and I've heard
that's my chance to be a creep.
Well, I have heard that Portland has a lot of very good strip clubs that are very queer and women friendly. So,
I have so much shame at strip clubs. I've only been to one, and I was just like, I feel bad.
Well, but these are from what I have heard of from people who have attended them. These aren't your dad's strip club. Like, these are fun and inclusive to the ladies.
Good, because as a millennial, I hate breasts apparently. That's why Hooters is closing.
Yeah, no, maybe it's because like the food sucks there and it's just trash. Like,
and beige pantyhose is weird.
Yeah, that really feels weird. The last time I went to a Hooters was because a few Christmases ago, and my parents wanted to do a quiz night, and that was the only quiz night happening, so we went there.
A burlesque show and Hooters with your parents.
Yeah, it's a real tale to tell there.
Our next episode is A Millhouse Divided, and Robert Flaxman says, "A quick note on Fudgy the Whale. As a New Jersey kid, where Carvel was the ubiquitous ice cream place of my youth, the actual Fudgy is surprisingly brown rather than blue.
Boo.
Yuck, says Bob Mackie.
Yeah.
Presumably another attempt to avoid any copyright drama. Also, this is my wife's favorite episode, and at our wedding, we had matching whale-shaped cakes reading to a whale of a wife and to a whale of a husband. That is sweet.
Oh, that is beautiful. I love that. That
I hope you ate them at like a roadside.
as Gene picnic truck bench. Stops yeah. go by. Yeah. No, that's... I guess I should have figured Fudgy the whale would be fudge colored.
I thought he'd be full of fudge.
I'm sure it tastes like fudge as well. Carvel is such an interesting thing to me because again, I had ice cream cakes as a kid, but Carvel was not a thing in the South. Like it is, it's fun to talk to our like New Jerseyite friend. Like Ian Joscordi and Matt Burnett are both from the New Jersey area, and
Matthew J.
And Matthew J, yeah. In Ian and Matt Burnett's case, they put that tri-state area flavor into like Steven Universe and Craig of the Creek and everything. It's fun to see it.
And everybody go out and listen to that 25-year-old Patton Oswalt bit on Carvel. It's so good. It's so
fudge
good.
Fudge you the whales. Fudge you the whale.
And also look up the original commercials. In fact, we played some of those on Talking Critic, and mm-hmm. they're even worse than you think.
Yes, yeah. I love the voice effect on Cookie Puss.
And isn't it just the Tom Carvel guy with a vocoder or something?
Yeah, yeah, like, I'm from outer space, I'm Cookie Puss. What a cartoon comments we have here. This one's from The Tick versus the Tick episode we did. Alex Kazanins says, if there's anything I love about Edlin and McCullough/Jackson Public, it's their endless bank of clever superhero/villain names. In response to your query, El Cid is likely named after El Cid, the medieval Spanish hero. I wish I could say that I know this due to our country's educational system, but in my hometown of Annapolis, a diner had a 16-scoop ice cream sundae they called the El Cid, which me and 8 others conquered post-college.
That sounds like the Mount Bellyache from Phineas Q. Butterfat's ice cream parlor.
That's true. That was the one place we didn't eat at was Phineas Q. Butterfat's, but it just looked like ice cream.
Did they have that?
Yeah, there was okay. a stand for it. It wasn't a thing you could go into.
I want a teenager in a mustache to say, eat it and get out.
Yeah. Oh, actually, we didn't have any of Luigi's Pizza either, but well,
I'm sure it's awful.
We'll save it for next time.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. I'm sure amusement park pizza tastes delicious.
There was not enough jokes about Italians in that Luigi's Pizza restaurant
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, what the hell? They went hard on poor Southerners at the Cletus place.
It's the only safe race to make fun of these days.
It really is, but... you know, this Tick comment also reminds me that the new season of Venture Brothers had started, and
I'm so sad because everyone's getting so much out of it, and I basically have to rewatch from the beginning. It's been too long for me.
You're kind of right to do that because I didn't, and I had almost completely forgotten just what happened in season 6. The first 3 episodes, no joke, pay off continuity from the entire series of 15 years, all in 3 episodes. Then at the end, I'm like, this is so much information. I don't know what to do
with
it.
That's why it took 3 years to make those episodes.
Yeah, and there's still 7 more this season, though. So
well, I will try to catch up. I say that about everything, but I really want to. So I missed like maybe 2.5 seasons so far. So I'm just going to start over. But back on the Tick versus the Tick, David Thompson says, I never knew this was marketed as a kid show in the U.S. In the U.K., it was shown on BBC Two during the 6 o'clock to 7:30 p.m. slot. This slot had some other animated shows like The Simpsons and Ren and Stimpy, but also live-action sitcoms like The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Malcolm in the Middle, and sci-fi like Star Trek and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I never had cable or satellite back then, so it may have been on one of the children channels there, but I always associated it more with The Simpsons and something like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And no, you're right. I mean, I think that's why Comedy Central put it on at like 1:30 in the morning and the Duckman critic, Dr. Katz, whatever block.
It was definitely in the wrong zone, like marketed. It was supposed to be a children's toy series, but it was never that. And I think they finally figured out what it was supposed to be, only too late.
Yes, but... I believe those are on DVD, right? Correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, actually, for UK and European people like Dave Thompson here, it's fully available on DVD. In America, only seasons 1 and 2 are officially on DVD, and those are both missing episodes because they're afraid of Marvel lawsuits.
Oh, why was that again? Sorry to regurgitate this.
So there is the Mole Man episode in season
right.
1. They don't include that. And there's the Galactus episode in season 2, which is one of the greatest ever.
It's a parody.
I know
the fear. I know the fear. Know. Now that Disney owns everything, they can fucking crush you.
Yeah, so you better hope they just buy they buy the tick eventually, and then they can just, once Disney owns all, then we'll be able to buy all we want. Isn't that a wondrous future?
They can print new currency and run our government.
they know better than us, Bob.
I think so.
And lastly, from One Punch Man, another of our superhero month-ish that we've been doing on What a Cartoon, which I've been loving. It actually was really cool to do One Punch Man right after The Tick, because they are of a piece.
Like a different culture's take on the same kind of idea, yeah.
Cool 0210 says, the magazine One Punch Man is published in is called Young Jump because it's aimed at young adults. By the way, it's Tonari no Young Jump, Next Door Young Jump, though the official English title of the magazine is Young Jump Web Comics for some reason, which One Punch Man runs in, which is pretty separate from Weekly Young Jump. It doesn't really have anything in common besides they both have the Young Jump label, also called the imprint, on its spine. However, One Punch Man does have that. It just has the regular Jump Comics label, the same as most Shonen Jump comics and some other ones. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
It really
that
doesn't.
Is so complicated.
Yeah, so Young Jump means young adult readers.
Yeah,
but
technically older than the Shonen Jump audience.
That makes me sad because I'm wearing my One Piece shirt right now, or one of many, and I'm like, this is not for children.
Yeah.
People bleed and they die.
They get decapitated. All yeah. Well, same with Detective Conan. That's still a Shonen
Jump boy.
Thing.
Never mind. I don't know if we want to spoil anything.
You've teased it.
Yeah, I guess.
You've
we're going to do a Detective Conan / Case Closed episode next next month. I'm so excited because I've been revisiting it, and children are hit and exposed to murder and threatened with knives and guns in every episode.
They see a dead body every week.
Yes. They should be traumatized, these kids.
Yeah, it's just funny to see the Case Closed marketing being like, well, this is sort of a kid's show, but there's corpses everywhere. Yeah. It's Law and Order, but starring a child with a magic bow tie.
I think it's CSI.
Yeah,
it's like they're just like pumping fluid out of stomachs, and it's all very disgusting.
I've been watching a ton of it thanks to Bob lending me his now out of print copies of it, and it's scratching the same itch that Law and Order used to do for me. I watched every single episode of Law and Order. I just love a succinct single mystery that is just like, well, this is a mystery. Can you solve it before we reveal it at the end of the episode?
And they play a little sound effect when he finds a clue. It's very much like a game to play when you're watching it. But yes, look forward to that. Especially if you like the Ace Attorney games, I feel like they borrowed a lot from Conan.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of just how weird the mysteries are, how bizarre they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, Conan is modern day Sherlock as well.
Yeah, and it's also been going on for like 23 years. So,
I guess when I say modern day, I mean 1994.
Yeah. But yeah, thanks for joining us for another episode of Talk to the Audience. Again, I'm so excited to roll into next month. I'm also excited to take a vacation. Hooray! Mm-hmm. But when we get back, we're jumping right back into a lot of great stuff. We've recorded so much great stuff. More interviews, a new live show. Anything else, Henry, before we wrap up?
Tons of cool guests coming on both What a Cartoon and Talking Simpsons, and more plans in the future for other cool guests that we're about to record with, too. Some of our favorite podcasters are going to be on soon as well, and you better not complain about politics, listeners.
Yes.
It's fine.
Please do, or don't.
No.
It's your choice.
Yes.
It's America. But thanks for listening to Talk to the Audience, and we'll see you next month for another episode. Goodbye!
Infotainment.